and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Holden.
I felt like I was starting then like, welcome back to the Not... That's the kind of attitude I went in at that
podcast.
Big
energy there today, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's because I've actually had more caffeine than usual today because my fatigue levels... Yeah, I've not got a fizzy one. My fatigue levels this week are ridiculous. I just feel... I wake up and I'm like, did I actually sleep or is it just...
I've been sleeping all right, you know.
Yeah, I know you have. You sleep like a log. Like you honestly, you just snore and you're gone. Whereas I'm laying in bed, eyes open like, oh, what am I going to do tomorrow?
The thing that annoys me, because I've been drinking a lot more water recently, I get up about 3 times a night to have a piss.
Story of my life.
But I turn the light on because I can't see what I'm doing, obviously.
That's really dangerous. You shouldn't
but
do
But you're
that.
Sitting down, so the accuracy is a lot more...
That is
accurate.
True. I didn't mean dangerous. I just feel like, oh my God, when you turn the light in the night, it's like laser beams in your eyes. Yeah.
But what I do is, even though I put the light on, I just open my eyelids like ever so slightly like that. I can't really see where I'm weighing, but I'll just try and like, if I can hear water splashing, then I know I'm in the right place.
Well, I hope you are, because you don't clean up after yourself. I have to clean the toilet.
The other thing is, it's a good job you can't smell me today, because we've just trained before and I haven't yet showered. So you're getting a slightly grubbier version. Of me. I'm actually having a shave this week and I'm wearing a cap because
I can't smell
my hair's
you.
A mess. But I'm quite glad that you can't, because you've got a good 2 yards away.
Okay.
But yeah, this week, what have we done this week? We haven't done a lot. Oh, we went to the, look at new cars the other day.
Yeah, we did.
In the BMW garage. Why are you laughing?
Am I? It's just when you envision yourself in the car that I want, all you're going to see is like
a little bean
head. Popping over the steering wheel.
I'm in this bit of a predicament at the moment where, like, I get obsessed with something and then feel like I need to get the best of everything. But then I'm like, do I really need to? Like, I would be quite happy just getting another micro scooter and going on holiday every month instead. Mm. And that's the thought process that I'm torn between at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's by the by, isn't it? Also, we're going to... We'll probably be there by the time you watch this, but we're going to London next week. We've got marked a meeting for the app. And also, I thought we'd drop it in there now. The next episode is going to be with Alex.
Yes,
the Gymshark athlete. I'm going to be talking about equality in sport from like a transgender point of view.
Yeah, it's going to be a great podcast. It's going to be super insightful. And it's also something that we really wanted to get someone on who can actually talk about their journey, because that's so important to come from their own perspective. And obviously, we can have opinions and stuff, but it's not really the same. I'm really excited.
I think it's good that we're going to talk about it, because I think it's one of those topics which people don't like talking about because they feel like they're going to say something wrong. And we probably will say stuff wrong in the podcast, and that's the point of it, to get a view and a perspective from someone who's lived it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
someone experienced
definitely.
It on a day-to-day basis.
Also, just a quick one, because I actually announced this on Instagram this morning. We can officially tell you, dun-dun-dun, that the My Coach School app is coming in June.
Yes.
Holy fucking balls, it's coming in June. Oh,
apologies
so
if you
excited.
Just had your earlobes taken off.
Do you know what it is, though, as well? Because with the app, you know, when we first announced it last August, we said March. March has been and gone. I can't remember
well,
March.
Well, we can officially say now, from when this is goes live, it'll be next month.
It'll be next month, because our app is
the best fucking thing.
The best thing you'll ever see in your whole entire life. It is a health and fitness app for you by actual coaches. That's important to note. Actually, genuinely so important to note. Your programming, your nutrition, your workouts, your accountability, the community, the non-toxicity of toxicity.
I think that's a word. I'll let you have that one.
Of the app. It's just there, and I'm so here for it. Sorry if I did get a bit too excited. Yeah. It's probably the caffeine.
I'm there for that. I'm living for that energy. It's great.
Yeah.
The other thing on top of that is the episode after the Alex episode. I just thought I'd fill you in, because we've got a couple of guests lined up for the next few. We have got the Turkish sweetheart, Mr. Darren Cartel.
Yeah, we love Darren.
It's going to be a good episode. So whilst we're in London, we're shooting a podcast with Darren, so that'll be out in another 2 episodes' time. Which would be a really cool one. So also, if you're watching this on YouTube, again, if you've got any questions that you want us to fire over to Darren during the podcast, leave them in the comments on YouTube, and we'll pick some of those up and go through them as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think
the other thing I was going to say, I had a DM yesterday, which I know it wasn't a DM, it was in an ask a question, which were, what were your thoughts when you first saw Lucy for the first time? So I just wanted to ask you, what were your thoughts when you first saw me?
Wow, he's fit.
Was it? That's quite cool.
Well, obviously, I didn't even speak to you at first. He was wearing this green khaki top.
I'm surprised you remember.
He was really tanned. I'm talking fake tan. He was so tanned. I was like, whoa. black joggers, saw him at the train station, big guy. I was like, Jesus Christ, who is this hunk? Gave you a little hunk. Gave you a little hug.
What do you mean, Nan?
You know what I mean? I was like, you're so handsome. Whoa, yeah, that was my first impression. I mean, I still think that now, but like, that was my initial. And then we were kind of like, when me and Ben actually first met, we were pretty inseparable. Like, we just got on like a house on fire, pretty much. Like, we spent the whole weekend together. We'd only just met and it was great. Go on. What were your thoughts of me?
I thought potentially a bit of a risk.
that's What do you mean a risk? You didn't even know who I was.
You're just like quite loud.
I was well quiet when you first met me.
I think I'd seen your Instagram page first.
Yeah, of course you had your little stalker.
You love posing on those, you know, poses like girls do with the glute. Oh.
Little bum shot.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit of a risk here, but we'll take a gamble. We'll take a shot in the dark.
Hopefully it paid off.
And I think it's paid off quite well. 4 years later. Yeah. Time will only tell.
Dive in, go on.
But we're going to dive into the title of this podcast, which is going to be about fitness trackers. I think this is very relevant because everyone I've walked past probably in the last week when we've been thinking about this topic is either some kind of fitness tracker or watch on. So I think they're very widely used. The topics that we're going to cover is going to be reasons why kind of why we potentially rely on them too much, how they can sometimes potentially govern our lives, the advantages, the disadvantages of them, how they can sometimes make people feel anxious, how accurate are they, and also exchanging calories for exercise.
Yep.
So I think I just want to quickly touch on probably the most important thing, because this is the question that is often asked, is the accuracy of them. And it was something that I was talking to Emma about yesterday from ESG. Again, if you're looking for a good podcast to go and check out Emma's, because it's really good as well. Really insightful and accurate information. But we were talking about the accuracy of them, and more so when it came to the energy expenditure, which I'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. But I wanted to pull this one up. It was one of the ones that Emma sent me over. It was the study by Hills AP. And it was a study that was done on free Android watches, which I think was the Polar M600, the Hawaii watch, and the Fitbit Charge. So the app.
Hawaii. That's the one that my nan and gramps have.
Is it? The one they got? Okay. So that was the one that was included in part of the study. They didn't actually have an Apple Watch in there at that time. But the conclusion that they came to from the study where they were testing the watches was that basically, to really simplify a long study, is that they were great pedometers, i.e. for measuring step count. Mm. They were really good for accountability, for keeping people accountable to things in the step count and exercise. And they were also good for monitoring NEAT, i.e. or non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
Yeah, so basically your steps.
Yeah, so non-exercise. But it's more than just, it's like me and you sitting here now, fidgeting, movement, anything like that. The thing that they are shit at is measuring or estimating energy expenditure.
Yeah.
So what we mean by energy expenditure, and I'll give a brief explanation, then like a more realistic, is energy expenditure is the sum of our basal metabolic rate, the thermic effect of food, and the energy required to digest, is used to digest and absorb food, and then the energy expended in physical activity as well is what makes up our basal metabolic rate.
It makes up our TDEE.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But the reason why, again, these are probably inaccurate, like for example, if me and you were to get two different watches, like if you were to put an Apple Watch on and a Fitbit, and do the exact same activity in a day. So you go train, go to the gym in the morning, do your 10K steps, do your normal movement. I bet you each one would tell you a different thing.
Yeah,
so that's like the easiest, most simple way to look at it. Like there's going to be some discrepancies in them. The biggest one comes when we're looking at the like total daily energy expenditure. If I pull mine up now, we were looking at this yesterday, weren't we? If I pull mine up now, it's usually like if you look at activity, for example, you're using the Apple Watch, you'll kind of have like a thing on your screen, can't you, which you can pull up.
Yeah.
And you'll see things like your movement, which is, again, is accurate for tracking on the calorie watch. But then underneath, you'll see like a total calories. Like, for example, mine yesterday was 3,369. So that's all, and everything excited for my energy expenditure for the day, everything included exercise, non-movement, just for me to be alive. Like, how does it know that? A watch does not know that, and that's why it can't be accurate. And also, I know that my maintenance calories aren't 3,400.
Yeah.
So that's why it's inaccurate as well. Like, there's massively inaccuracies with energy expenditure. And I think one of the other studies by Stanford that I looked at said that there can be discrepancies by up to 40% when it comes to energy expenditure on the Apple Watch as well.
Well, you can... Oh, I even said to you yesterday, I was like... Because I actually went on to check what mine was because a client had asked. And mine was 2,600. My maintenance calories are 2,100. Like, I know that through experience, through weighing myself over a period of time, knowing that if I ate 2,600 calories, I'd probably put on a pound per week. That wouldn't be maintenance for me. Yeah. But in terms of the accuracy... Something that I just pulled up before was fitness trackers estimate your calories burned based on your BMR, so your basal metabolic rate, and is a number of calories you burn at resting rate. So that's just what you burn at resting rate. And it's calculated simply through your height, weight, and age. And once the tracker has your BMR, it adds your daily activity to get the final expenditure. Mm-hmm. Now, a study conducted by the Journal of American Dietetic Association has found that the equations used to calculate BMR have error rates between plus or minus 134 calories a day. So that's just your BMR's off anyway by plus or minus 134 calories. And then also there are actually loads of factors that can affect an individual's metabolism, which will cause errors in the watches. It can't equate for it. So when people are looking so far into those numbers and so fixated on them, and then they're thinking, oh, I've burned 2,600 calories today. So if I eat 2,600, I'm at maintenance. Yeah. No, you're not.
It's like when you use my fitness pals for the energy and eating
it. Yeah, and it eats back your calories.
Yeah, so basically what we're saying is the only thing to eliminate from the watches, everything else is pretty accurate apart from that total energy expenditure for the day.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like the move goal is pretty accurate. I feel the step count, obviously that's your steps, isn't it? If you take it off, yeah, it's not going to count some steps. If you have it on, it's going to count your steps.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing is to really get out as well, though, is the use of watches and the way that we use them. For me as a coach, like I've never ever programmed for someone. Or for example, when I program for someone, I'm looking at, okay, what are the goals? What is the best split for them? What is going to be the best way to build muscle tissue? What is the best way to build strength? What is the best way to optimize performance? What is the best way that we can program for them that is going to fit into their lifestyle? And what is going to be obviously best to get results? And not ever do I stop and go, okay, well, I wonder how many calories they burn on a day-to-day basis. That never comes into the equation of setting up someone's program, ever. So it's weird that... At the moment, you see a lot of people basing their exercise off the amount of calories burned.
Yeah.
When it never comes into any other point during programming.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. It's not on the questionnaire you ask them, so what does your Apple Watch say to you?
The thing that we do ask is how many steps you're doing.
Yeah, because steps is important. There's a big difference between someone doing 2,000 steps a day and doing 15,000 steps a day. That is substantially different. So things like that... you would then put into when you're calculating their calories because they're more active than a person who's doing 2,000 calories a day. Can I give you one really good advantage that I believe of fitness trackers?
Yeah.
In general. Now, I don't know if it does this on Fitbits or any other tracker because me and Ben have Apple Watches. And one of the things that they do is they give you a little buzz of when to move or when to stand. And... according to the Exercise and Sports Science Reviews, sedentary behavior, so that's just sitting, like literally just sitting or lying down, has negative consequences on our cardiometabolic health. And there was also research conducted in the same study with the American Heart Association has found that it increases the risk of mortality. Now, what I think is great is that it will just give you a little buzz of when to stand or when to move around a bit. You could go to the gym for an hour in the morning, and if you sit down for the whole rest of the day, that's not good. It's not good for your posture. It's not good for your bowel movements. It's not good for how you're feeling, standing up, stretching, moving around, and things like that. So I think that little reminder feature is really good. If you have a good relationship, I guess, with your Apple Watch or your Fitbit or whatever you're using. And the example that I gave you before, my grandpa's 90 soon. He's 90 in June. And he has the Hawaii one. So my nan and my gramps have the Hawaii watches. My nan rows 2,000 meters a day. So her watch is getting that. But my gramps loves it when the watch tells him to stand, because he'll stand up and he'll just walk around his living room. I think nan does about 5,000 steps a day and gramps is a little bit less. But what a great thing, actually, for older people, just to maybe they do need that little nudge of, oh, just, you know, stretch, move around a bit, get up.
I think that you've just touched on two things that we discussed in the podcast when we talked about the 10K steps one. And one of them was that you can actually be an active couch potato. Like, you can get up and train for an hour in the morning, but then if you do nothing for the rest of the day, it's not enough movement.
Yeah.
That's why we set that 10K marker. The other thing is obviously, like, great for your nan and granddad is that we know that being more active and just being able to move more decreases the chances of sarcopenia and obviously your quality of life as you get older as well, when tissue does start to deteriorate. So two great things. I think the main thing that you've just touched on there is one of the benefits that I said before, which is accountability.
Oh yeah, it offers
massive accountability, because if for example, I've done it before, I can be sitting there done a full day's work and go,
oh my God, I've not moved.
Shit, I've actually walked less than my nan's probably walked today. And we will hopefully look at it and go, okay, well, I need to walk a little bit more. Best get my Nikes on, best strap them up and get out the house for half an hour. I think that offers that accountability there to do that. And without that, we wouldn't know how much we've moved in the day, which I think was probably the main reason why these watches were probably designed in the first place. It's just to kind of make people a bit more conscious of the movement.
Yeah, it was to get people moving, I guess, is like the nicest way to say it. Like, the big difference there is what you said is you might have sat down all day and, you know, you've just been working, you've had a super busy day and your watch has done the little ping, oh, stand, and you're thinking, oh shit, I've actually not moved today.
Sorry to interrupt, do you not think the stand thing's weird sometimes?
Well, it's making sure you're standing.
But I can be standing up and sometimes I go, oh, stand up. I'm standing up.
I've never had that.
I have. I've been standing up and it's gone time to stand up.
Inaccuracy.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't fully know sometimes, does it, as well? So the one thing there, which is really important, what you said, you're not constantly checking it and obsessing and thinking, oh my God, I need to go for a walk. Now you're thinking, oh God, it's reminded me. It's jogged my memory that I've not stood up for 5 hours. I've been at my desk editing a video. Because sometimes you will sit there for 5 hours and not move. And I'm like, hello, you need to stand up. Do you know what I mean? But your watch is your little bing.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus there.
I'm not going to lie to you, Ben. Sometimes you're in that same position for 5 hours. I'm editing a YouTube video. Yeah. Well, let me just get you up for a sec.
Peel you off the seat.
You know,
I think it is good. I think part of the reason behind that, though, is why potentially sometimes what fuels that kind of mentality is that I need to do 20,000 steps per day, or I need to burn this many calories, is because when sometimes, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, by the way, this is just me personally, I think sometimes when people post on stories or on workouts, the amount of calories they've expended in the day, it makes other people either feel guilty or it makes people think, I need to be burning that. And I stopped doing it a while ago because I put a couple of stories up from when I'd done a leg workout. And I've done some leg workouts before, and no joke, I've burned 1,000 calories. And people are like, how do I burn that many calories in a workout? I'm like, for fuck's sake. I don't want people to think that they have to burn that many calories during a workout. And it's almost that FOMO of, like, I need to be doing that many in order for it to be beneficial.
Yeah, massively. Because remember the other day I got asked the question specifically on the Ask a Question, how many calories do you burn a day? And my response was, you do not need to know what I burn a day because it's not going to be beneficial to your goals. And I know for myself, I'm hella active. For one, it's part of my job. Mm-hmm. I'm filming, I'm on my feet, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm out shooting content. Part of our job is to do that. But if I put it up, somebody could compare they're sat down all day and they would look at that thinking, oh my God, like, how does she actually burn so many calories a day? I do a lot. Like, I have this conversation with Cal. I have a lot of muscle. I'm heavier. I'm going to probably burn more calories than the average 24-year-old woman because my muscle mass is heavy.
All right, Arnold.
No, but that is actually a really important point to make. Stop it now. That is a really important point to make in terms of your muscle mass and how efficient my body is. And the whole reason I put that as a question, it was like, look, if I tell you, some people, yeah, it was probably just curiosity, wanting to know. But for me to put that up as a coach, I don't think it would come across in the right way, or it would be received in the wrong way for a lot more people and they wouldn't find it beneficial.
Mm-hmm. I'm come with me if you want to live. No. Get to the chopper.
Is that supposed to be Arnold?
Do you mean it's supposed to be Arnold? It sounds like a direct replica.
Well, I think
what you touched on there is important. However, what I will say is I don't think it's bad if people upload them, because I think it's good for people to be able to put out like what they're doing. And it's fine to use social media as a means of accountability as well. Like a lot of people will put like a day of eating up, and I think that's fine as well.
I'm putting one of those up tonight, but just without the calories.
It's not about the people putting the content out. It's the people that are consuming it and potentially misconstruing it in different ways. So I'm not saying people don't post them. I think it's great if it helps you keep accountable. Spot on. The thing that I have an issue with is that the way people view weight training as a means to expend calories. Mm-hmm. Like weight training isn't it shouldn't be a primary goal to burn calories when you weight train. It's not what weight training's for. Resistance training should be used to build strength, build muscle tissue, build self-confidence, to make you feel good, and to build like a better physique. It shouldn't be used as a means of burning calories, because to be honest, weight training is a really shit way to burn calories. If you want to burn calories, do cardio. That's what's most efficient for. Like if you looked at the amount of calories burned from weight training to doing cardio, it'll be a lot higher.
Yeah, bloody hell, if you send me off on a 10K run, I'm going to expend literally 1,000 calories.
If I do hot 30 minutes on the Stairmaster as opposed to 30 minutes in like bicep curls and tries to push downs.
You're on that Stairmaster. You just honestly, yeah. Wow.
I think, yeah. And cardio is way more efficient for us to do that. And I think the other thing to take into consideration is as well, like you just touched on in regards to muscle tissue, overall weight comes into consideration when we look at how many calories you're burning during a session. So, for example, if we had me doing my leg workout and then we took a guy who was 300 pounds doing my leg workout, he'd probably burn 2,000 calories because his resting heart rate or his active heart rate would be a hell of a lot higher.
Well, if you compared me with you.
Exactly, yeah.
And we've done a plenty of leg sessions together where you've probably expended 700 calories and I'm on like 300, 350 simply because you're a bigger boy. What? You are. Big muscles.
Thank you. That's better. I think for most people, and I'd even potentially say this to clients as well, is that they could probably take their Apple Watch off during a weight session. I know most people won't want to because they want to keep an overall track of the day, the move goal. But you can probably take your watch off during a workout, especially if you're doing weight training, because the goal isn't to burn calories. Mm-hmm. The goal is to... If you're looking at compositional goals, the goal's got to be to like the execution of movement, to control the movement, to stimulate tissue. The goal isn't the total amount of calories burned.
So something really interesting in terms of your total daily energy expenditure, Ben already went through before what it's made up of, but I just wanted to give you the percentages in terms of how many calories you actually burn in those specific points, because it'll be surprising for a lot of people. So your exercise activity thermogenesis, so exercising, working out, is 5%. Your thermic effect of feeding or thermic effect of food is approximately 10%. So that's digesting food. Your NEAT, so non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
For movement.
It's 5%.
That's got to be very, very general because I... More than 5% of my daily exercise...
Yeah, and it's the same for me, but I'm just going off the research.
Okay, I think that's too general, mate.
Yeah, I think it is too general, but I'm just going off what it says. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis, so you're fidgeting, your steps is approximately 15%. And then your basal metabolic rate, so your calories burned at rest, is 70%.
Yeah, obviously BMR is the main thing. I think that's way too small for exercise.
Do you want me to pull it up for you so you can have a little look?
I'll look at it after we've done the podcast.
Okay.
It doesn't matter though, because my activity takes up well more than that. It depends on, like, I think one of the things I looked at this morning was that in regards to the population, of how much the population is actually moving, it's very little. So it may be like be run over, like the general public.
I think it's very much general. It's the same with like the BMI.
It's probably
very,
right. It's probably not talking about trained people, which is probably why where the stats come from. That's why. Okay.
Eat 95% to 100%.
It's probably talking about general people, isn't it?
Yeah, but isn't that? But every single one that I went on.
Yeah, that's my fault. I'm probably thinking too much about trained people.
But I guess you'd put a lot of the things together as well, though, I think, where it's like your physical activity, you could put your knee and eat together because you're walking, you're fidgeting, your steps, the actual physicality.
It's just non-exercise.
Would be like 30%.
Yeah.
So, your physical activity would be like 30%. Your thermic effect of food would be like 10, but your basal metabolic rate, so just sitting, makes up most of it, which I was just trying to emphasize your point before about people who think they just get all their burned calories and things like that just from a workout.
What I'm trying to get at, though, is I'm trying to compare cardio to weight training. Mm-hmm. And cardio is a much more efficient tool to burn calories. And if you've got calorie goals, like I sometimes measure this for cardio, like when I'm doing cardio for body composition, I'm not talking about going cardiovascular to improve your aerobic fitness in any capacity. I'm just talking about, I'm looking for a direct exchange in order I'm doing that amount of calories because I need to bring myself into a further deficit. Is I'll base it like that. The one thing we both talked about before is the accuracy of the machines in the gym. So quite often people will be like, okay, I'm going to go and maybe do 300 calories on the treadmill or on a Stairmaster or whatever and be done in like 15 minutes. If you looked at the difference between your Apple Watch and the screen on the in the gym, on the machine, you'd probably be quite depressed, because I think they found from some studies there was a, where did I put it? Put some down in my show notes.
Well, I know.
It was a 15 to 20% difference, or it can be 15 to 20% out in regards to calories, because I've sometimes done like 300 calories on the machine before and my watch is actually saying 200. So what I usually do now is I put a towel over the screen, just cover it up, and I'll go off what my watch says if I'm doing cardio to try and, for when I'm looking at bringing myself in to get leaner.
Yeah, I always did that. When I implemented cardio last year, when I was doing a bit of a cut, I didn't at all base anything off the cross trainer. It was so irrelevant because, especially for me, like, it takes me quite a long time to burn calories if I'm doing cardio, because I'm quite, I've got a really good cardiovascular system and respiratory system from swimming days. So it'll take me so long to burn calories when doing cardio, which is why a lot of the time I don't implement it as much as like a fat loss solution for me personally. But hell yeah, they are so inaccurate. I especially find if you're doing like a treadmill run, they're so off, because they go off how many times the belt's moving or something. Like the treadmill doesn't know any of your stats, does it? Mm-hmm. So it's going off how many times and how fast that belt's moving.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's just crazy.
Unless you put some stats into the machine, but even then it's still inaccurate.
Yeah, well, I did sprints the other day, didn't I, for 15 minutes. So the belt's on 18 for 15 minutes, just going round. But I just jump on and off like every 30 seconds, but it thinks I'm running at level 18 for 15 minutes. I'm not, definitely not.
Yeah, it's just...
Cannot do that.
The conclusion is it's better just to go off your fit tracker and your watch.
If you are focusing on that.
Rather than the machine.
Yeah, and definitely.
Just going back to what I was saying before, most people could probably take the watch off for weight training and then put it back on when they want to measure the steps for the rest of the day. Would probably be like quite a good protocol. Are people really going to implement it? Probably not. But from a psychological level, it might be quite advantageous if you are caught up with just measuring calories in your workout, because it's not a really good tool. Another example of how sometimes the watch can be more detrimental to people rather than a benefit is, particularly when we're looking to reverse diet or we're looking at bringing people's calories up, because I've worked with people, plenty of people in the past, and even I've had questions on Instagram about it, when people are actively upping their calories, as a byproduct, some people will, well, you'll move more naturally anyway, because you'll probably have more energy from just upping your calories. So because you've got more input, the output may then be higher because you've got more energy when you're coming out with deficit, and that's fine. The thing that you don't want to get into the habit of is exchanging calories for exercise. Because you're then bringing the calories up thinking, oh God, do more steps now. Like the whole point of being in a reverse diet is, pardon me, is to try and reduce the deficit. If you're bringing calories up, but then as a consequence of that, purposely increasing your output, i.e. moving more, whether that's through exercise or whether that's through steps, you're making the deficit stay exactly the same, even though you're increasing your food.
Yeah, you've just been so counterproductive. You just like cancelled it out, really, haven't you?
And it's fine if you've got more energy and you're naturally moving more, but if you're actively, from a psychological point of view, worried that you're increasing your food, so then upping your step count, that's where we've got to be careful, because we should never be using exercise as an exchange for calories, because this is where potentially we run into eating disorders and something known as non-purge bulimia, which is where you use exercise to try and burn off calories that you potentially binged on or overate before. Mm. And trust me, because I've been there, and that's what I used to do, is use exercise as a means to burn off calories of when I'd overate or when I'd eaten any calories before. And it's something that we've got to be very, very careful of in regards to our mentality, because it's easy to kind of go down that slippery slope.
But it's also with that as well, it's very easy and very common to overestimate your calories burned. Like we've just spoke about, you're probably not burning that amount of calories in a day, you know, from like if you're checking your trackers and your watches.
I'm also kind of speaking from a step point of view, like some people will chase 20,000 steps a day,
yeah, and they've increased their calories,
yeah, but some people will kind of see that as the benchmark and chase 20,000 steps, which is quite a lot, by the way. I mean, some people will naturally do this, like we've got a couple people in the school whose step count is just so high because I think they dog walk and they do other stuff. Like, for example, Darren will probably speak to about it. Like, his steps are so high all the time because he's walking around London all the time.
Yeah, same as my best friend Fliss. She walks everywhere.
Yeah, so there's people who are going to have naturally higher step counts, and you shouldn't look at those people and go, I need to meet that. If you're forcing yourself and you've got low energy and you're struggling to hit it, probably try and lower it a little bit is going to be advantageous. Like, getting your steps in is great. Pushing yourself too hard, probably not. Like we spoke the other week, there's probably going to be a maximum effort versus a return on investment of it. And it's going to get to a point where you put too much effort in and you're not really getting any extra return from it.
I think as well, it's for some people, it's very easy to get obsessed with performance and data, in terms of it can become quite easy to get very fixated on specific numbers. And for some people, an Apple Watch or a Fitbit might end up not helping them with their goals. It might end up like doing the opposite effect. And I think aiming to improve your performance is absolutely not an issue, but losing the joy to work out is. So if you just lose your enjoyment to actually just go to the gym, smash a session because all you're thinking about is the calories burned, that's not enjoyable. That you don't want to just focus on that in a session. It completely takes away the point of why you're personally working out. What are your goals? Like you said, build muscle. I want to lose fat. I want to do this. I want to increase my cardiovascular health. If all you're doing in that session is looking at your watch every 2 seconds, and then you go and do some more and try and get your heart rate up just to hit a calorie number, that's not healthy for the individual's mindset. That's not something you should be focusing on. Which is why, obviously, yeah, you said it's important that if sometimes you don't wear your watch to the gym, if you have that mentality where you're completely obsessed with the numbers and watching it like tick over, I think that's when it can become quite detrimental rather than advantageous.
I think that's the word that you've hit on the head there is it depends.
Like, oh, it completely, so depends on the
it
person.
It completely depends on what your psychology is at the moment, what your relationship with food and exercise. If we're just talking for someone like going at a program or going at a goal, and they've kind of got no negative associations with these kind of things, they're great, because we live in a data-driven world, and like having more data for a lot of people is a really good thing, mm-hmm. to help keep accountable, to help measure stuff, to help measure lifts, to help measure progress. Like, it's great. We can use scales, we can use body fat calipers, we can use other metrics, we can use photos, we can use heart rate monitors, like all sorts of stuff to track data. For a lot of people, and probably the people we're speaking to at the moment, you probably don't need to track that many aspects of fitness, and it becomes overly complicated. Like, for example, we've been speaking before, the program that I'm following at the moment, how much data I'm currently taking, will be way too much for someone else who's just looking to be a bit fitter, be a bit healthier, build a bit of muscle tissue. because it gets to a point where like you don't really need to take that many data points, and it potentially for some people becomes a bit of a headache. And I think, again, like Apple Watches are a great motivator and they're really good at helping people stay motivated and like accountable, like I said before. But like with anything in life, if you use something too much, you do something too much of anything, it potentially has some negative effects. Exactly the same with MyFitnessPal that we were talking about last week. If you use MyFitnessPal every single day, like you probably don't need to. You don't need to look at it every single day to know what calories you're hitting. Probably the same with your Apple Watch. You don't need to check it every hour, every 5 minutes to see what currently on. And if you're probably doing that, it's probably getting to the point where it's like, do you know what? Potentially your relationship with that isn't great and you're probably taking some time away from it. Remember that YouTube video on it where I didn't wear it for a whole day? I felt great, you know?
Yeah.
Just didn't look at anything. Didn't know what steps I was on. Didn't know what my exercise was. Didn't know what I'd done. I just took it off for a day. And it felt quite liberating just to do that for one day, just to see how it felt. And again, we need to kind of not overuse stuff so that we still have healthy relationships with exercise and not allow it to govern our lives.
Yeah, and something that I actually did quite recently. So when I had my moles removed, I wasn't training for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm usually a very active person. And to be honest, I didn't want to look at that activity ring on my watch. So what I ended up doing, and I've still got it on now because I love it.
That was great that you did that.
All I can see on the face of my Apple Watch is the weather, the time, a timer, and then it has a daily quote. So that's all I can see. Whereas I used to just be able to see the activity ring. So at that moment in time, my headspace wasn't quite there. I think because I don't like being inactive, and I couldn't because I just had an operation. Didn't really like it. Couldn't even walk, could I? So I wasn't doing anything. So for me to get a little gratitude popping up my Apple Watch throughout that period, and I've not changed it back since because I don't need to look at that activity ring for me. I just don't. So that's actually something really important to know. If you know in your head that maybe you're not in the best space, like headspace with a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, change the screen. You can change the screen to whatever you want. I love my little daily gratitudes popping up. So we've got, when I help others, my life flourishes.
It's good, I like that.
That's the one I've got.
I think
there.
That's important what you put on there is about with injury or with other stuff like that. Your Apple Watch will like usually know like what calories you've used to burn, and sometimes I think it says to you like, oh, you're under this week. And I think that's where for some people, like if you're injured or whatever, just take it off because it's good. You're just gonna get you're gonna get fucked off of it. It's gonna piss you off. It's gonna make someone remind you, oh mate, you haven't fucking walked.
Yeah, it was telling me to stand.
I think you spoke to a girl this week on Instagram about like she just had an operation and
oh yeah, I did,
and she's reducing calories and stuff and trying to up her movement. And again, like we're in situations like that, if you're injured, like it's probably best to delete MyFitnessPal, probably best to delete or take your watch off, because it's just going to remind you of things that you can't do at that moment in time. And the goal has got to be for you to just recover, rehab, and get to a good place again.
Yeah, well, this girl in particular, she'd had her appendix removed.
I've had mine removed, did you know that?
I did know that, yeah. Completely.
Can I just quickly tell a story before you go on?
No, I can't deal with that story in the podcast.
Basically, I had my appendix removed when I was like 15, around my SATs. And anyway, I was in agony for like 2 weeks. The worst stomach pain. Why are you laughing?
Very serious story. The story.
I was in agony for like a good 2 weeks. I didn't know what was wrong. Like, it kept me in the child ward for a bit or whatever it was. And eventually, like, okay, we think it's appendicitis. Okay, great. So they operate on me, they take my appendix. It was the first operation I've ever had, so I was already pretty nervous. Took my appendix out. They sent me home a week later. And then I got home, I was like, I'm fucking still in agony, you know? I was in so much pain. So my dad took me back to the hospital. I'm in like the emergency bit. I'm fucking screaming, crying because I was in so much pain. I had two nurses fondling my balls to check, like, because what can cause stomach pain sometimes if your balls get crossed over.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Your balls get crossed over. No, balls are fine. Anyway, I don't know why they didn't do this before. They eventually took me through for an x-ray. Got the x-ray back. And no joke, it looked like I just swallowed a branch. I had shit up to my chest. From my arsehole up to my chest, I was filled with shit internally. Because I'd been on so many painkillers and all different medication, it made me mega bunged up. So I didn't need my appendix out. I didn't need my balls fondling. I just needed a shit and I would have been fine. But instead
literally,
so I had my appendix out and my operation out and I just needed a poo.
Honestly, that would only happen to them, Ben.
I should have sued the NHS.
It's not right. It's not right that they didn't even scan me. Check
I just needed a poo and they took my appendix out.
Could have given you a laxative and you would have sorted you out.
Exactly.
I mean, you might have needed a few, but still.
A green tea. Flying. A bit of caffeine.
Yeah, flying. Sorry, I knew the ending of that story. When Ben first told me, I was like, you are joking me. That is ridiculous. But
you know what, though? You should have seen the first poo I had.
I don't want to know about the first poo. This girl had had her appendix removed, and I was actually sent this girl's story, and because she was a personal trainer, and somebody sent me, like, I think she's relaying the wrong message. I had a little look, went on a story. It was a picture of her in the mirror with her operation kind of bandages, saying, I'm reducing my calories to 1,000 a day because I've had this operation. So I sent her like a really, really nice message just saying, look, you're recovering. Your body is going through recovery. You've had an operation, because she'd mentioned a story that she's put on 2.5 kilograms. And I said, look, like you've had anesthesia, you're full of water, you're full of gases. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't think you need to eat 1,000 calories a day. You need to help your body recover, which is really, really important. And we had a massive conversation about it. We went back and forth, and she ended up changing her story because she understood what the process was. And it was even when we had COVID back in January, we were eating in like a surplus because our bodies were trying to recover. Mm-hmm. We were ill. We were just ill for like 3 or 4 days, weren't we? But everyone's like, are you reducing your calories because you're not moving? Absolutely not. Like, I'm eating more because my body is just burning through everything, mm-hmm. because I'm poorly. And I think that's important for people to know when they are injured or they're ill or something's happened where they can't train, they've had an operation. It's really important to know you don't need to eat nothing. You need to eat pretty much the same. Sorry, we're a bit off track there, didn't we? But it is important to know.
I think it is. And like, some people at certain times don't need to have that data or aren't ready for it. And again, for some people, too much data is not a good thing. Like I said, if anything, like, sticking to the basics for most people would be beneficial. Just looking at your move goal and your steps. It's a great thing to do. It's kind of when it's becoming anal about money. I just don't think getting obsessed with that is ever going to be a good thing. Yeah. So whenever you become too obsessed with counting anything, I just think there's probably negative. Do you know what? I've actually seen people who've measured the calories during sex.
What?
Do you measure the calories during sex?
What do you mean? Is there a one for it?
No, but I mean, like, they've measured like what they're actually calling. It's like me, imagine that. Hey, imagine that. No, wait there a sec, babe. Just during doggy, I'm just going to put my high intensity of interval training on before we get going. Just want to measure calories for today. Imagine how weird that, or you might put lists on depending on like what your motion is, but whatever floats your boat. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Why were you checking this as a sex setting?
I was just seeing what was actually on the Apple Watch. I mean, you can add a lot of different ones in. You know, you've got badminton, bar, basketball, mixed cardio, social dance, surfing. You've got everything.
You know what you could
archery.
Do? If you really wanted to, for that kind of thing, you could add in.
Oh, you've got fitness gaming. Fitness gaming and fishing. Fishing, fair enough. Fitness gaming.
Yeah, well, I don't know. But like, you know what you could add in if you wanted to for that kind of situation?
Oh, Wii Fit. Oh, okay.
Do you know what you could add on for you if you wanted to? Riding.
I hate horses.
I'm not talking about horses.
That's ridiculous behaviour. Absolutely.
You could add that in there if that's what you wanted
behavior.
To do. As
Whoa, there's so many.
I Googled before. Do you want to know what I Googled before?
Yeah.
How many calories do you burn when masturbating?
What was
that? And it came up. This is again going to be averages. It depends what kind of your technique is, I suppose. One of the this is during sex. Didn't come up with masturbation. During sex activity, they reckon a male will you don't burn much, about 101 calories. They reckon for a female, it's about 69 calories.
Nah, 69.
Yeah.
Trust it to be that number.
Yeah.
Hey.
So it didn't come up with masturbation, but that was for. But do you reckon that's what the averages for sexual intercourse are?
Interesting.
Very interesting.
But people don't usually account for that, do they?
That's what I mean. Some people obviously do, don't they? Because you've got stats for it.
Can I tell you something that I actually also really love about your fitness trackers? It's like the community element.
Yeah, I do.
It,
yeah.
So it gives you the option.
I think that competitiveness, yeah.
It gives you the option to connect with other users, and you can be friends with people, like family, strangers, whoever it is. Like I have you, Cal, my sister and my cousin. And it is the most hilarious thing. Like me and Cal have this ongoing thing. Like, you know how your Apple Watch pops up and it sends you like, send a congratulations. So me and Cal, when it says complete the workout, those little like, those little like gimmicky, like, well done. Like it sends you something and we love it. You get through it like a little text and it like sparkles.
Oh, so that thing on Saturday night with me and you were sitting there watching a film. And I messaged Cal saying, what the fuck have you been doing today? You've done 2,000 steps.
It is funny though. Like we can take it as a joke sometimes. And Cal was like, I didn't have my watch on. But no, like I like the element of connect and communicate with people.
I've had a great part of it. That's quite nice. Is that community element in it. There's people who created groups of like step counts and creating some competitiveness, I think, is great as long as you're in the right place to do that. And again, that's why we're adding to the app the feature where all your data from Apple Health will be uploaded to your account on your profile on MicroSchool, because it'll allow you to track steps, it'll allow you to track like movement and I think a couple of other things as well. So that's why
Apple
we're
and Samsung Health, don't forget Samsung.
Yeah, that's why we're including it on there, because I think it's really useful for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've been through physically everything that I could possibly talk about a fitness tracker.
I think my conclusion would be that I am very
to conclude
I am very pro watch. I'm pro people using the watches. It's not I'm against it. I just wanted to discuss some of the drawbacks potentially from them for some people in regard, mainly in regards to the inaccuracy of them, and the second one being like don't be consumed by the calories burnt during workouts. I think are my two main points, and instead use cardio to burn calories if it's for body compositional purposes. Like it's the best tool that you can use.
Yeah, I think this is the thing.
And probably if you go into indulging in adult activities, don't turn your watch on.
Yeah, that's a bit weird, isn't it? Weird, yeah. Oh, sorry, wait. 5 more calories to go. Yeah, keep going. No, but the thing is with a fitness tracker, if like using data is great, you know, for fitness goals and sports goals and everything like that. Like for me, when I was a swimmer, I was saying to you before, we used to collect so much data, like lactates, bloods, quite intensely. Our jump metrics, everything was kind of tracked. And that was really great. That was such valuable data to use to better our performance in the pool. Mm-hmm. And if you can use an Apple Watch or a fitness tracker now to benefit your performance, great. That's so fantastic. However, if you're not psychologically in the right place to have a sound relationship with an Apple Watch, or I say Apple Watch because we have them, a fitness tracker, probably take it off for a bit. Try and take it off for a few days a week if you notice in yourself. So if we said to you now, okay, whoever's listening, take off your Apple Watch for a day. If you feel you physically can't take it off, and you need to know what your numbers are that day, that's when you probably know you're a little bit too obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. That's probably quite a good measure. So anyone listening now who feels like they can't take their watch off, just have a little see at your relationship with that thing on your wrist.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you are listening to it on Apple, iTunes, podcast.
Apple Podcasts.
Or you're listening to it on Spotify and you want to check out the YouTube channel, just type in the Not So Fit Couple podcast. Because the other thing that you can do there is you can ask questions about, like if you've watched the podcast and you've gone, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. You can ask questions in the YouTube channel and we'll try and get back to pretty much all of them and go into a bit more detail if you have anything else that is on your mind. Also, if you're listening to it on Apple, please, please, please continue to leave reviews because they mean a lot to us, especially with the BBC Podcast Awards coming up. It would mean the world if you could leave a review and let us know what you think, as long as it's 5-star.
Obviously.
And then obviously, just continue to share out on story and stuff as well, because me and Lucy will try to get back to everyone who tags. We can't get back to everyone, but we do appreciate you tagging the podcast and when you're out and about walking, getting your steps in and stuff, tuning in and I'm sharing it.
Yeah, definitely. So as always, guys, thanks so much for listening and we will catch you in the next episode.
Bye, guys.
Bye.